Hello, welcome to Tech Wrap for another week. Online at techwrap.net. We're on iTunes, we're on Player FM, and oodles of other places, including Twitter as well. Hello, William.
Hey, how's it going? That was a very professional introduction. I think that's the most professional introduction we've had thus far.
Probably is the most professional sounding introduction of all time, but you know, I thought I'd give it something different.
No, it was good. I liked it.
Lot happening in the tech world over the last week or so.
As always.
And there's things on the horizon as well, of course, with Apple, you know, gearing up for the iPhone, the new iPhone, which, you know, it'll be around the corner. Few weeks.
iPhone 6S plus plus Edge. Note.
Yeah, just throw in all the names because, you know, like Samsung did it last week.
OnePlus 2, Note 5, Edge plus 6S.
And then Android. Oh, Marshmallow.
Oh, yes. Marshmallow. We finally got word this week of the M officially stands for Marshmallow. A few podcasts back, we speculated on some possible M's.
We certainly did.
Milkshake was your favorite.
Was it?
Yeah, you went with Milkshake.
Brings all the boys to the yard.
Milk Dud. Was that one? Milk Dud? That would be good. Milk Dud. Android Milk Dud.
Marzipan?
But yeah, Marshmallow. Android Marshmallow is the next version of the operating system.
They had a little bit of an official thing, didn't they, to announce that?
Yeah, a bit of an announcement.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we already knew a lot of the details of what Android M was going to entail and stuff with all the new permissions things, sort of the new look, just evolving more of the material design, things like that. So we got the name finally, and I'm looking forward to the rollout.
Yeah, it should be good.
I might have to get the new Nexus device just so I can have it right off the bat because they take ages to update the Samsung phones with the latest version.
Yeah. Yeah, even though they're rolling out the Samsung phones every six months now.
Note 4 and I'm on 5.02, I think. It's like 5.1 is the latest. And God, no, I don't. Who knows when I'll get that?
Yeah.
Let alone Android Milk Dud. Marshmallow.
Speaking of mobile telephones, the UK regulator Ofcom released a survey within recent weeks. Yeah, Ofcom. And they looked into media device usage by age. And the age-old question, which device would you miss the most? Now, tell me what you'd miss the most.
My toilet warmer. Warms the toilet on those chilly mornings. Probably my mobile phone. Mobile phone would be number one because it's something you have on you at all times. It's like your go-to device. Yeah, it's going to be your mobile phone.
It is your mobile phone.
Or your cell phone.
And for most people between the age of 16 right up to 54.
That's us.
The mobile phone is the largest share.
We're in that age bracket.
Yeah, yeah. Although we're in the 25 to 34 bracket.
Oh, there's a sub-bracket.
There's sub-brackets.
You were very broad there. With your
I was very broad. There's sub-brackets. I'm just showing Will a copy of this little chart.
So what are the other devices that were missed?
Surprisingly.
And what's the trend going forward in age?
Surprisingly, computers were the pink colour, so they're a low percentage.
Yeah. And I didn't even think of computer because, you know, I guess your most missed device is something you use all the time every day. So it's like Family Feud. We surveyed 100 people with their most missed device. Mobile phones was number one.
And even tablets were small too. Guess what the next one in line was? TV.
Goodness. I didn't even remember the last time I watched TV. Traditional TV.
And of course, people over the age of 55 right up to 64. TV ends up coming up like trumps, but
yeah. When you say TV, I think like, you know, television, like free to air television with commercials and stuff.
Yeah,
not a streaming service from my computer, but just a
physical TV set these days, because there's so many things you can do on those physical TV sets.
You carry with you. No, what about smartwatches? Are they on there?
No, not at all.
Maybe it's too early for smartwatches.
It's a bit early for smartwatches. I mean, smartwatches are in their like 2 year infancy.
Well, it makes sense. You know.
Yeah. It was interesting to see the survey because I didn't think TV would come up as the next one.
Your most missed device.
But when you sit there and you consider what you can watch on a TV these days, you know.
Yeah, but I wonder if they think about like playing your, you know, like a console or, you know.
Will they be thinking, yeah.
Xbox,
I would say that they would be going into all the finer details of what you do with a TV. Smart TVs. Mm. You know, I've got one of them. I've got an LG one up on the wall, 47 inches. I can sit in bed at night and open Netflix straight on the TV you know, browse to my favourite TV show and I'm all set.
Yeah, but I guess like you, I think you can't communicate with your TV, really.
No, I can't communicate.
Effectively.
Oh, well, not easily.
Because you think missing, that invokes feelings, and you think of like your friends. If you didn't have your phone, you wouldn't be able to contact anyone. You'd lose like all communication with the outside world.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
You would.
Yeah, you can see why it's number one, of course. And it's only, I think that'll be, you know, 90% in 10 years. Mobile phones or implanted watch device on wrist.
Oh, not these implants on wrist since that we like covered
your,
weeks ago.
No, your eye implant or something. Like Google Eye. They replace your eyeball with like, you know, like Google Glass, but it's like straight onto your retina.
So what does Apple call it if they have a variant? They wouldn't call it eye. Captain.
Eye retina.
Oh, geez.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Well,
did you see?
You can test it first. If it works, well, maybe. I'll do the surgery.
Maybe. Did you see the half-ass attempt that 60 Minutes did on hacking last Sunday night?
I think I saw something briefly about this, but you start talking, then I'll tell you if it jogs my memory.
I thought it was pretty terrible because they brought people into a scare campaign so that they could get viewers for the night and started off with that line, you know.
It's probably all that elderly age group who makes TV the most.
You can be bugged, tracked and hacked from anywhere in the world. And so there's a whole 20-minute story on it. The reporter goes over to Germany, and of course, the hacking detail had to go on in a basement.
Well, of course, like stereotypical dark room, like typing on a keyboard over the shoulder, like.
Oh, look, we're breaking into the mainframe.
Arbitrary code.
So, basically, a security researcher over there who had permission to utilize the mobile phone network in Germany. Got the reporter to make a phone call to Australia, and he intercepted the call and the text messages. But the moral of this one is, while it is a vulnerability in the signalling system, which, you know, controls the handover of the mobile phone between mobile phone towers and also international roaming, this guy has done it with permission from the German government. He has ability to get straight into the mobile phone systems without passwords, without hacking it. And he's showing off an exploit.
That's, you know,
so
it's not really hacking.
It's low down in the list of things that people should be worried about, especially with smartphones of the current age. I mean,
that happens anyway, right? Like, welcome to the Snowden releases in 2013.
It does happen.
Like, the governments are collecting all your data.
True.
So people are getting arms and arms about this one dude. Forget about the rest of the world
who entered the system legally and probably without the constraints.
That's the least of your worries, I think.
And you know,
a friendly German.
If you think about how this guy has entered the system and then you think how they've actually got to do it if they do it illegally, they've got to get through that security barrier to begin with to get it. So it's
so hard.
Low down in the list of things that you should be worried about on a daily basis when you're using a mobile phone.
About all the, speaking of hacks, the Ashley Madison hacks.
Oh, the Ashley Madison hack as well. The fact that they
You didn't
they
have your got email address on you, did you?
All the login, what's that?
Your email address wasn't on there, was it?
No. No, I can confidently say
Trent Muffin at Hotmail.
Because I'm the single fella, so, you know.
What do you make of that hack?
Why would I be on that website? I don't know what I have to say about it.
Like gigs and gigs and new gigs being released every day.
I see people saying, well, you know, individuals shouldn't be using this website, but I mean, they do, so.
What about the release of all the data, though? All these, you know.
It's an awkward situation.
It is awkward.
It's an awkward situation for everyone to be in. The people of Ashley Madison, the people who have used the website. I mean, there's a lookup tool. I went to a website the other day, and it's got
you can search
lookup tool. You punch person's email addresses in, and it tells you whether they're on there or not.
Why would you use your name, your real name email address to sign up to it like a.
Well, they would have just
cheating website.
They would have just thought it was like a dating website. Mm. Everything's good, you know. I can use my details.
Isn't the byline like something Ashley Madison something for cheaters, like hookups for cheaters or something? Like, that's the whole point. It's like, I think it's like to have an affair type thing.
It's a very awkward situation to be in, but you know, you can't back out of it now, and it's put some people in some real hot water. I mean, some big names are even involved in the case. So yeah. Was it a?
Seems like a like. It seems almost borderline trivial.
No, I can't comment any further.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's happening. It's tech related.
It's very interesting. Yes, and it is
still developing.
And it is tech related. It's developing. And yeah, I guess we'll have some more going on in the next week or so. So
almost seems like a celebrity story. You know, like
Kim
Kardashian's at the baseball again. Ashley Madison got hacked.
And the iCloud saga. And celebrities storing nude pictures bloody iCloud.
Maybe it's all about. It was intentional, dude. Who knows?
Yeah, who does know? we're talking about hacking. We're talking about illegal activity. There's another illegal activity development in recent weeks. And we touched on Dallas Buyers Club as well.
Yes, the downloading the movie.
A little while ago now. You know that situation where you just get a dry throat? It just halts everything. Yeah, we talked about Dallas Buyers Club. I can't remember how long ago. I mean, we've only been technically going for about probably 7 weeks.
It's about, it was either 1 to 6 episodes ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd agree with that one. So Voltage Pictures, the copyright owner, was not impressed with people downloading. They had hoped to get legal permission to obtain people's details so they could send them a letter. Yeah, addresses.
Phone numbers, whatever.
So that they could send them a little letter and say, hey, you downloaded illegally. We're going to give you an option. You can pay for your deed the hurdle that they faced with this is that they had to go to the federal court to be able to get approval.
And we're talking in Australia?
Yeah, in Australia. They had to go to the federal court to get approval to be able to obtain the addresses, and that came with a conditional. Mm. They had to show a draft letter to show the federal court what they were planning to do.
Makes sense.
They showed the draft letter last week, and the draft letter just doesn't have enough content in it. They're being very broad with what they want from the customer. So therefore, the federal court has temporarily denied
good
condition at this point in time.
But
so
that makes it sound like it's like come back to us with more details and specifics and then we'll approve your request.
Yeah, so
they should have denied it flat out.
So what they're going to need to do is actually explain what they want to get from the customer. The fee, a full number rather than just this we'd like you to pay a fee.
I guess I need to state that there'll be no other repercussions because they say like if you say you can pay for the movie, you're like inadvertently admitting that you did download it illegally, and then you could like go to court on copyright infringement, I guess, and get a huge penalty fine. And I know that sometimes you can get even jail sentences.
It's possibilities. Doesn't happen very often, but there are possibilities of it occurring. And I guess the federal court just wants to see that if people's details are being used, they're not going to, you know, be dragged through hell.
That's good.
And the letter arrangements will resolve the deed with one simple step, maybe, or legal action down the line.
Win one for Australia at the moment.
There's a win for Australia at this point in time. We'll just have to see how long that one lasts, however, though.
Hopefully they just go back and give up. And they're like, oh, this is too much effort. We thought this would be easier.
Yeah, well, it'd be great to see them give up. And you know, everyone can go, well, we've chalked that one up as a lesson learnt, and we're not going to do it in that way again. But then people will just go and do it again. They always do it.
Why, this place is the only company making a huge like fuss about it.
Yeah.
You see people going on about Mission Impossible. Downloading that. And
usually they only send you those ISP letters, the warning letters. Yeah. They send them to your ISP and then your ISP forwards them on.
Well, I hope everyone else that thinks about doing that will look at it and say, oh, well, they're having a lot of trouble. This is too much effort.
Mm, it's a very hard basket.
Unless they finally do get through and then they come up with like a template of a letter, then every other movie company just sends that exact draft saying, you know, hey, we want the... You know, because that passed, this should pass.
Another thing that they could
slope. Do. Hope it, I guess we'll have to see.
All the other copyright owners could lobby together with Voltage and work out some system so that they can attack Australian customers in the future. Not that you want that sort of thing to happen, but Oh, there's a lot of possibilities. We need to wait and see what happens now. It's going to develop again. There's more going on, and this is dragging on for what, more than 6 months now?
Yeah, so it's a long time. But it's just like old school people holding on to the old ways, you know.
Yeah, just,
and get over it. People download stuff, adapt and learn. I mean, like, look at Netflix. Look, they found a reasonable pricing option to deliver content. And
look, what's
everyone will go with that rather than downloading.
Look, what's going to fix this is to be able to knock down the country borders, so to speak, of copyright holders and sharing content based on release dates. They need to get uniform, given that everyone's connected to the internet these days, and just have one unified release date and bring forth some releases so that they're all in line.
Some people just don't want to pay as well.
There are a small percentage who don't want to pay.
It's people who don't have the money, really. It's not like rich people are downloading illegally.
There's two. The people who would be keen to watch something legally but don't want to wait until the release, and miss a season, like they start a season one season later here in Australia because they can, and people don't want to wait for that. They want to see it when their American buddies are watching it, so they can all sit and talk about it.
I think people are slowly learning.
But yeah, I haven't gotten into a lot of movie torrenting because I'm just slack.
It is a bit of effort. Yeah.
There's a lot of work to it. It's
a lot easier to just log on to
Netflix
and just hit play straight away.
Yep.
But I can do that anytime. Netflix doesn't have everything, and they're not going to have the latest release movies or whatever. But
they're not. No.
Yeah. It is a bit of an effort to torrent, especially if you do have such an easier option right next to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if I have to pay a few dollars,
$10 a month is nothing.
It's all good, and everyone else in the house can enjoy it as well.
Which is how it's happened. Live with three people and split the $10 between you all.
Get them
$3.33 each.
Get them to buy a pizza so you can watch
$3.30
Netflix
a month
with the
to watch their huge library.
Yeah. Yeah, it's.
I can tell you
works well for me.
Lots of great shows.
Works well for
before
me.
Before we start talking about all the TV shows we've been watching, that can be another podcast.
I haven't really been watching, that much. That much, anyway.
Have a browse this weekend.
Yeah.
Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
Get into it.
Voice recognition. Do you use it much?
I remember there was a bit of a craze, maybe. I don't know. When I was like a bit younger. Maybe like, I don't know.
Younger?
Yeah.
How like much
eight,
younger?
8 years ago, maybe, or something. Like it was like Dragon Dictation or something, and it was like, this voice recognition.
Dragon Naturally Speaking.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. I'll never have to type again. I can just sit back and be like, open Firefox.
And you try
and
it. Start really
typing. And I think I tried it, a trial or something. And yeah, it was horrible. It was slow, and like, you can do it a lot quicker. But it's good for Google Voice and Siri and that sort of stuff.
It's working better these days.
Sometimes instead of swiping a text message, because who types anymore unless you have one of those new physical keyboards?
Did
you see the BlackBerry one? The new BlackBerry, like they wanted like a slide with a physical keyboard or something, new BlackBerry phone.
I've seen murmurs.
Yeah. But anyway,
it's not as ridiculous as Samsung's type cover, though.
That's ridiculous.
But
so yeah, voice activation. I think it's cool. It's handy. It's like definitely good when you're like, how tall is someone? I don't know. Or converting, how much is 60 pounds in kilograms? It's a lot easier to just type that to Google or Siri and then get back the answer than it is to type it all out. And sometimes if you don't want to text, you can sort of try the Google Voice to do a text message. But then it doesn't work and you have to go back and fix the one mistake it made and it ends up being a lot more effort.
I don't mind if it makes one word of error, because I usually have a good run with Siri and I use it.
Do you send text messages with voice?
Yes.
Jeff. How's it going, Jeff?
While I'm driving. And no, I don't mean I touch it while I'm driving.
I touch it while I drive.
now, what do you
message
touch?
Message Jeff. How's it going, Jeff?
How's it going, Jeff?
Is that what you?
Yeah, but I talk a bit slower so that Siri does recognise what I'm saying too.
Where are you going with this, Geddes?
So, bloke in the US. It's a story.
I'm listening.
We just took 2 minutes to get to the story.
Anyway.
Yeah, teenager working under his car. I'd say he was in a community whereby he probably didn't have a lot of money, didn't have too many people hanging around him either. He was working on his car and he didn't prop it up properly, so it fell on him.
And that's pretty. Chopped his head off.
That's pretty horrific.
It's horrible.
He got his arm crushed.
No way.
And because there wasn't anyone around to yell and scream, he decided to go about trying to push his mobile phone into a position where he could activate Siri and call 911.
But if you could hold down the middle button, couldn't he just dial it?
Yeah, but have you looked at how big the middle button is and how you can.
Oh, okay, with your elbow. Okay, I get you. Okay, so he didn't have his hand and you could do like a shoulder
so
and
it's like,
his nose or a tongue.
What do you do? Do you
toe,
do that?
A knee. Yeah, I guess you could.
Oh, look.
Can you get it working?
There we go.
Like, yeah, you got it with
Siri
his knee.
Siri can understand me now.
With his knee, let's try other body parts. Nose next. Let's do a nose.
I don't understand. I love that we don't. Siri can understand me now.
The Australian
but I
accent.
Search
there.
The web for it.
The Siri, very realistic.
Yes.
So he used another body part and he dialed Siri, saved his life.
Yep.
Potentially, that's a cool story.
It's cool.
It's like with the Google now, you can have the always listening thing in the latest version and things. So even when your screen's off, you can be like, "Okay, Google," and it will. You don't even need to touch
it. Is there privacy?
Oh yeah,
concerns.
You can tweak it. You can
allayed
turn it
from it.
You can turn it off. Lucky he had the voice activation on.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Imagine if he didn't. How the hell would he dial a number?
Yeah,
how the hell would he have saved his own life? He probably would have been close to dead.
Thanks, Siri.
If nobody had noticed it. Thank you, Siri. Thank you, Apple. Thank you.
There's lots of stories
voice
like
recognition.
That, actually.
Oh yeah, there's tales. I suppose this heroic tale is tech involved rather than
Siri
just.
Siri probably doesn't even know like what she did. She's oblivious. She saved her life. Maybe one day she'll know the meaning of it.
Yeah, maybe
AI will get better and better.
Mm. This is Tech Wrap. It's a podcast. We're online at techwrap.net. Yeah. You can email us. You can go on our website and send us a message there. We're also on Twitter as well, the Twitters. Yeah. You can find us there at TechWrap Podcast. And we do have a couple of followers now.
New followers?
Yeah, a couple of new followers.
Maybe one day we'll have a Facebook page.
And they're not like friends of mine at all.
Oh,
they're
that's cool.
Just
Hi.
People who have joined.
Thanks
so,
for following. They're my dummy accounts.
This
to prop us up, look like we have more followers.
James Strawn, if I pronounced that correctly.
Yeah,
he's a marketing man.
Yeah, nice.
And he's from Melbourne. So hello,
hey,
James.
Welcome to the podcast. Hopefully you stick around.
And there's even the guy from Happy Hockers, who was in the Australian version of Porn Stars.
We're talking about like trading items.
Yes.
For money.
That porn.
P-A-W-N.
Not P-O-R-N.
Hey, you know how
we can't do P-R-N in this building.
No.
We're at work.
P-I-N. Do you know how I'm always trying to get you to ditch Apple and come over to the light? To the greater side.
I understand
more
that
you're convenient, ergonomic, efficient, prettier.
Hold up. No, not
coming
that part.
Over to Android.
Not that part.
Come over here.
Not the sleeker and sexier
Android,
bit.
Forget that. You know how I'm always being like, Android's better. You should come. You should switch.
Yeah, you keep saying that. I have a look at it from the sideline, but I'm not there yet.
Well, get this.
Yeah.
This is a perfect opportunity for you.
Mm.
Samsung.
Yes.
Have now come out with a thing.
A promotion.
I guess one would call it.
A trade-in?
Where it's called Samsung Ultimate Test Drive. So what you can
do is
you can log on to the website.
Yes.
And you just can't do it with a normal browser. You got to log in with your iPhone and you put start test. And what they're doing, they're giving out Galaxy Note 5s, S6 Edges, S6 Edge Pluses to people with iPhones so they can trial the phone for 30 days and come to the realization of how much better it is, and then they can purchase the handset outright.
Is this in Australia?
No, unfortunately, US only, 18 plus.
There you go.
But well, what how crafty, because I was like, it would have been so good.
It would have been so good here in Australia.
I mean, you know, because like, I mean, you can look play with my phone and lots of people have them. You know what it's like anyway.
Yeah.
But how about that from Samsung coming out with a basically a direct stab trying to pull so openly Apple users to their smartphones?
That is a very good tactic.
30-day trial, credit card, obviously. They do like a $1
Oh, yeah, just so that they can.
You send it back
details.
After the 30 days. Obviously, if you don't return it, they charge you for the phone. Mm. There's like levels of charges, like how much they charge you. Like if it comes back, like significantly scratched or something like that, it's like they charge you $100 depending on the severity, maybe $400 for like this amount. And there's like all these things that could happen to the phone. And then if it comes back dead, they charge you up. But
it's understandable. It's understandable. And
do you reckon it'll work?
It could work wonders, you know.
I reckon people are going to do it and try and scam it and then with like fake credit cards.
There are, you know,
genius, isn't it?
There's groups of people out there who would be keen to have a bit of a crack and, you know, they would be open to the opportunity of
driving. And they pay for your cellular service as well for the 30 days.
Wow.
So all your calls, all your data, everything. And it's, you know, it's on the four major networks. What is it? Sprint, T-Mobile, Verizon.
Good.
And what's the other one?
No, I'm lost.
Sprint,
can't
T-Mobile,
remember.
Verizon.
But that is...
I can't remember the four.
That's sensational. I mean, no one's ever thought of doing that in Australia.
Yeah, you sometimes see the ad campaigns where like Apple will directly stab at Samsung and Samsung will say, oh, ours is so much better than Apple, like in a more creative way than that. But I think this is the first time really where they're like, hey, iPhone, directly target iPhone users.
Saying,
hey,
that
come
way.
Try out our device. And they are beautiful devices. If there was ever a time to try an Android phone, now is the time.
Mm.
Like the operating system is probably the best it's ever been. In terms of, you know, features, the look, the design, how much easier and
intuitive
it is.
Still needs a little bit more work.
Nah, I disagree completely.
It needs some more work.
But
still.
I think now there's never been a better time to try and pull the Apple users away. So it'll be interesting to see if they do in maybe a couple of months post results on how many people actually made the switch. And I'm looking forward to seeing that and saying 90% of people, so it's time to switch over. Although you'll probably try out the new iPhone. But it's good, though, because you can be the iPhone guy and I'll be the Android guy.
You're never going to see that. Not 90%. Admit it. You're not going to see 90%.
Not
90%. You might see like 35, 30, 45.
Yeah, 30, 40. People get too attached and it is a lot of effort as well.
It is an effort to change things, yes.
You try to convince someone to do that isn't like willing or in tech. Like
or in the
tech
savvy,
world.
Yeah.
They have their phone, they're used to it, and they're like, whatever, too much. If I got a phone, it works fine. They're not going to do it. So I guess it is kind of a niche market, but it's a good tactic, and I think they only came out with it.
It's a great tactic to be able to claw back at the market, and, you know, they will get people who try the phones because it's being offered for free.
And they'll see how much better it is.
And they'll see that they like Android. I'm not going to say how much better, because you're just, they will see that they like things on the Android phone and they like Samsung, and then they'll end up going, screw it, I'll buy one. And there you go. They've done a sale. They've got
something. Especially if they already have the, I think you probably could buy it direct from Samsung. So you say, I'm keeping it. Done.
Yeah.
And they even give you like special instructions and data cables and manuals how to get all your data from your iPhone and put it straight onto your
there you go.
They want you to actually fully commit in that 30 days.
They're opening
all your data, all your contacts, everything, transfer everything across. Mm. And I guess it's good because if you do have everything across, it's a lot easier to say, oh, I'm going to stay because it is better.
They are looking for commitment. Yeah, that's good. For sure.
That's good. So we've been talking about hacking scandals and, you know, privacy issues and, you know, Windows 10 privacy new settings. And there's always privacy everywhere. And ever since, people get concerned about everyone stealing their data and using it and collecting information about them. What streaming service do you use for music?
Music streaming service. I have both Apple Music and Spotify.
Yes. Did you see the new Spotify privacy terms and conditions that came out?
We spoke about it before.
Mm, very briefly.
Privacy terms and conditions.
I've not seen the new ones. New updated, only came out in the last 24 hours.
That's why I haven't seen them.
There'll be an update to the app and you'll have to agree to new permissions, especially for Android users. Here's a highlight. Tell me what you think, okay?
Yes.
Previously, this was not part of it.
Yep.
And now they're bringing this into their privacy policy. Here we go.
Yep.
If you're connected to a third-party device, say, or like software like Facebook, you've linked your Spotify and Facebook account, Spotify will now have access to all your public data that you've made available, and they can pull it, use it, store it, keep it. All your public posts, all your birthdays, anything that's publicly viewable on Facebook, Spotify can now take it and absorb it. They can now have access to all your location data. So that's GPS, where you are, Bluetooth as well.
Interesting.
So they can track and all your sensor data.
What do they want to do with
this? So they
can
see your speed, if you're walking, if you're running, if you're in transit on a train.
What?
So literally wherever you are, they can take that data and say, Trent is here listening to this song, blah, blah, blah. They can also, and there they also want access to a lot more of your phone permissions. Okay. So this includes all your contacts.
Yes.
They want to know who all your contacts are on your phone. They want access to all your photos, your photo data, whether or not that's, you know, actually pulling your photos or just saying, hey, you have this many JPEG files. This is how big they are, like the metadata. But I guess it's so broad that they could say, hey, let's take this image. Maybe. They can have access to all your media files. So I guess they can look at all like file names of everything you're running, all the extensions, see how many pictures you have, see how many like movies you have, what they're called, who they are.
That's
Spotify, music streaming.
That's a bit ridiculous. That is a bit ridiculous.
Insane.
I could glean from some of those things you mentioned that maybe they would
all
only
to improve
use,
the service and make it more personalised for you.
Maybe they would only use it for analytical purposes to be able to
but
say.
It's scary to have such a broad blanket. I guess I see what you mean, because you'd be like, oh, most people listen to music on their way to work. Most people take the train. They spend about 30 to 40 minutes. Maybe we can shuffle these songs in that 40-minute time period for this person.
People,
I guess you can take that data and use it in a good way, but, like, why do you need to know exactly where you are?
Yeah.
Why do you need to know what my files are called on my phone? Why do you need to know
why do you think you want to see all my Facebook data?
Yeah.
But surely with, like, the Facebook data, Facebook will still be able to go, well, I want to give them the option of turning it off as a customer.
Maybe with
if they don't want it.
Android Milk Dud Marshmallow.
Milk Dud.
I just love that name, Milk Dud. Android Marshmallow.
But it's not called Milk Dud.
With the permissions of the apps, hopefully you should be able to turn, even though like you agree to it and they can collect it, I think you could still turn off the individual permissions for the app. So you probably could turn off the location data, stop it accessing your GPS. You probably stop it accessing your contacts.
Well, you can do that with iPhones as well. With some of the apps.
So I guess there are ways for like the tech-savvy users to get
but
in there.
But the people who don't know about it.
The majority of the population that just hit accept, not even look into it, don't blah, 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 install, accept, agree.
That's a worry.
Stream, and just how much, that probably it's like 80% of people.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
It's a concern for those people because they just don't have a clue.
I get that like Google probably does that already, like the whole Android operating system, all the feedback and analytics on everything on your phone probably go to Google. Facebook probably already have like all your data anyway, but it's just another big company collecting all your data.
And
it seems like it's the way of the future, though.
And not saying what out of the data they're going to use, who they're going to share it with.
And they're like,
and how long they're going to store it for.
Two options, agree and enjoy music streaming.
Or disagree, not agree and don't enjoy it.
Yeah. But I guess, hey, now that there's actually other options that people who aren't happy with such a policy can go, you know, I'm going to go to Apple Music. I'm going to go to Google Play Music.
I hope Apple Music improve things for us here in Australia, because we've got the drama at the moment that, you know, your data caps on your mobile phones just don't like Apple Music.
Or Windows 10.
Yes,
I
Windows 10.
I keep seeing stories pop up about bandwidth being...
Yeah.
Because the peer-to-peer sharing that you have.
It uses the peer-to-peer sharing by default unless you turn it off.
Their caps.
And they can reach
every week
caps.
Or so. Somewhere there's a story about it.
It's frustrating, and it's not something easily turned off by a standard user.
Especially they didn't even know about it in the first place.
There's a setting to turn it off, but they still automatically download updates, even if it doesn't use peer to peer.
Have you played around with Windows 10 a bit more this week?
I've been fiddling around with Windows 10 a bit more. I've actually put Windows 10 on a workstation in a community radio station, which I'm a technical and programming director for.
Oh, big shot. Drop that.
Well, that's what my title is.
Yeah.
I mean,
how's it going with the workflow?
It's not really big shot. But I had to put new works, well, not new. We're using X-Lease workstations, so they're a couple of years old, but they're more than capable of running current versions of software. They've got an i5 processor in them at 3.3 gigahertz, I think they are, 8 gigabytes of RAM, 2 terabytes of hard drives,
yeah,
more than capable.
Solid work.
And it's actually working comfortably on Windows 10 and working better than what Windows 7 did, because one of the machines came with Windows 7 already like installed. The guy had done a fresh install for me, and it was right to rock from opening the box. I thought, well, you know, moving forward, we've got newer gear. There's a new operating system out. We'll just put it on that. The first hurdle I encountered was the fact that I didn't set it up correctly, because you can set Windows 10 up using email addresses, like a Microsoft account.
Yes.
If you've got a registered Microsoft account. And so I did that, and then was set up with a Azure Active Directory, because we're using Office 365 in our organization. And then you get in a situation, if you do that and you want to change to just a standard old Windows username, you've actually got to go in and you've got to re-enable the administrator account, which is disabled, then add your other account, and then log out of the Azure login with the email address as your username, and then you'll be able to get into things. I wasn't entirely on top of that, so I created a user account, forgot to enable the admin account, and then logged out of the Azure account, and then I was stuck because
without admin,
I had Windows, but I didn't have admin privileges.
Yeah, so you couldn't really do anything or install stuff.
So I actually had to go into the option whereby I could do a refresh and go back to a fresh installation.
The OS.
I had to go back to a fresh installation. Now, you can do that quite easily on the device without needing a disk, but it took like 2 hours and a lot of fiddling around. Then I had to reinstall all my programs again.
But otherwise, pretty smooth, so running, and no issues with software.
Working lovely on my Microsoft Surface.
Three Pro.
I've still got applications on here that were here on Windows 8, and I've even got apps that I run which were made for older versions of Windows, and they work very comfortably.
Yeah. Like, right at home on the surfaces and the tablets, Windows 10.
Like this Adobe Audition, it's an audio editing program. We use it in the industry. I just open that, and it opens it opens QuickSmart.
Yeah.
And the reason I said very and then
few
stopped
pop-ups.
Is because I had two pop-ups about microphone issues.
Yeah, because there's not a mic connected.
But I don't use a mic. Like, it's got an inbuilt mic, but all I do is edit files on it, and that's it. And it's very efficient. It works fine. So
might be announcing the Surface Pro 4s in September.
I'm very sad because I only bought a Surface Pro 3 not so long ago.
Yeah, I mean, like, shit, look at the phones. Every year they come up with a new one. Now they're announcing them every 6 months. So,
there's one thing I'm not disappointed about when it comes to the future Surface Pros. I have a feeling what they're going to do is they're going to work on the idea of, you know, reducing the amount of heat they generate, the power they use and whatnot. And by doing that, they have to lower the CPU. They have to slow everything down on the CPU and make lower spec CPUs, which means the one I've got here is going to be better.
Maybe.
In terms of performance than what the newer one will be.
We'll find out in September.
Until they release new variants of CPUs, and they really haven't gone. They've made various generations of the i3, the i5, and the i7 CPUs from Intel, but they haven't gone any further than that. They've got to a point in the life cycle of a CPU that they haven't really got much ammunition to come out with new CPUs yet.
I think in the next year we'll probably see maybe a next gen Intel CPU in the surfaces. Probably not this year though.
Yeah, no.
So, and I think they're also going to announce, and we're going to have a look at the Microsoft Band 2. Did you see the first one, the Microsoft Band?
Yeah.
So we'll see a Microsoft Band 2 and some new Lumia phones, some new Windows Lumia phones. So
I think
and the
they
Surface
need...
4. So Lumia phones, Surface 4, and Microsoft Band 2 in September.
I really think they need to ditch the Lumia phones.
They bought it,
but it's not working for them.
Yeah, they're Windows 10, everything uniformed. Maybe
they're going to give it another shot.
You know, unified across all devices, everything running Windows 10.
I'm not
your PC, your tablet, your Microsoft Band, and your phone,
your motorized toilet.
Yeah, everything synced together. So maybe people start buying into the ecosystem, the Windows ecosystem.
It's getting better. It's getting better.
Yeah, so when you're talking, it's not dead.
Yeah, it's not dead.
Keep the Lumias, I reckon.
Time for some quick headlines.
No.
Why not?
Not even.
Why not? You got more.
Yeah.
You got more.
Do you know how we talk about Google and their, you know, all their little projects and little...
All the different developments they do. And like Tesla doing the bloody space shuttle business and what have you.
So here's one. Have you heard about this? Project Sunroof.
Project Sun. Oh, this is the one where Google uses the map data to show you where you can put solar panels on the roof.
Yes. Yeah. Only available in select locations in the US, but I think they'll probably roll it out eventually US-wide and then worldwide. But.
Once they figure their data out, the data that they need to make it happen everywhere, I reckon they'll roll it out everywhere.
Did you see the video?
I haven't
seen
the video.
You can Google it, and there's like a minute 20 video, like a 1 minute, 20 second video, and it just kind of explains it all.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. But yeah, using Google Map data, it'll track the position of the sun. It will show like where on your roof gets the most sunlight, the most heat. It'll tell you the most efficient and optimal place to place the solar panels. And then it will even tell you local installers in your area. And it will also calculate how much money you could save on your electricity bill. All in the one thing. That's really cool. That's like a really cool like little Google invention.
You know what? My family could have done with that 5 years ago. Because
Do you have solar panels now?
No, but we had solar hot water.
Yeah.
And the installer who installed it didn't understand our site well enough. And so they just went to this assumption of, you need to put them on this side of the building because. So they put them on that side of the building, and we know for a fact. But that is not the most ideal spot, and it's not the spot where that gets the most sun.
Mm.
So therefore, the system was inefficient, and they didn't even set the system up properly, so it wasn't even working properly. And a few years down the track, when we weren't getting very good hot water, we realized that there was an issue, and someone indicated that it wasn't even functioning properly. We had modifications done to it, and then slowly but surely, each of the panels, because they're glass panels, broke, and so they're in the position where they're not even working anymore.
You don't make solar sound very appealing,
but solar power is marvelous.
Mm.
I mean,
I doubt we'll see this Project Sunroof in Australia anytime soon, though.
I'm going to hold my breath.
Mm.
I'm going to hold my breath because
maybe a third-party developer could somehow grab the data.
Because I reckon if they can get a calculation, some sort of calculation going on in their software to look at roofs, and you know, like in Australia, the majority of them are tin roofs, and so they only have to figure out where a roof is in their mapping data, and then they can just.
Yeah.
Run a calculation over that and just figure it out like that.
We have such great sun here in Australia too, don't we?
Because I've seen this sort of stuff used in other situations, like, for example, wireless systems. Ubiquiti, who make wireless equipment, they've got a link calculator which uses Google data.
Hmm.
It uses terrain data and all the information that's available on Google. And because you're using a Google map and you can get a visual of each of the sites, you can actually pinpoint it, you know, very, very closely to how you want it to be and get good information. Unlike when I used to do it, like I set up a couple of 2.4 gigahertz wireless links back in the day, And it was just guessing game. Like it was,
yeah.
I think it goes about there and, oh, look, we've got a signal. Oh, that's all right.
Now you can get apps on your phone where you can map out your whole house and it'll tell you the most optimal place to place your Wi-Fi stuff and it's the most optimal things.
It is ridiculous.
I'll tell you one place that's already getting on board with the solar panels. India.
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 Yes. And an airport in India.
Oh, yes. This
will run completely on solar power.
It's lovely.
Crazy. 46,150 panels across 45 acres. So nearly 50,000 panels and the whole airport will be on solar. I'd hate for something to go wrong. Surely they'll have a backup generator. But how crazy is that?
It would be a lot of work to maintain. They'd have to employ someone to watch over those solar panels, you'd think.
Yeah, because
something went wrong, one panel in the middle of an array went wrong, you got to pinpoint the...
Sure, they'll have some.
Unless they've figured out some technology which can indicate which array is screwed so that they can whittle it down easier.
Surely, if you have that many panels.
Yeah.
And they're expected to save 300,000 tons worth of carbon.
We would be saving a lot.
300,000 tons of carbon. Does that mean anything to you?
Tons of carbon.
Oh, that's over 25 years.
No.
So that's the over 25 years, they want to save 300,000 tons worth of carbon with these solar panels. So that's the equivalent of planting about 3 million trees.
Their power bill, they wouldn't have one.
Or...
What would their power bill have been?
You could save that much carbon by not driving for 750 miles.
That's just impossible for me.
Put it into perspective.
That's impossible.
And they reckon that'll be completed
here.
About May 2016.
May 2016.
Year. So pretty soon, not too far away.
Good eye.
Less than a year.
That's a nice story.
Yeah. So now it's time for some quick head.
Oh, we're in for some quick head.
Yeah.
Lines.
Yes.
Yes.
Because, you know, sometimes there are just some stories out there that where most of the story is in the headline, and you can do a bit more research if you like to at home.
Can I blast
it's
you?
It's very informative.
Can I blast you with a very quick headline, even though I haven't...
Straight off the bat.
You know, checked to see that you haven't come across it.
Ah.
The international GST
is
close to being in effect.
Really quick heads, but we didn't play the jingle.
What jingle?
The quick headline.
We don't have a jingle.
These are the quick headlines of the week. This is the quick headlines of the week. Come on, Gaudis, give me some quick headlines. Wasn't the best one, but all right, now we can commence.
Yeah, so the...
Quick headline one, yes.
The GST on imports is not far away, and they've decided that it's $0. So that means everything coming in. From international locations, if you haven't got a valid reason, is going to be taxed. We're going to get GST on it. No more buying it overseas to save the GST. It's over.
Black market.
And that Australia tax is certainly going to burn us a little more
it's
now.
It's not officially through yet, is it? But it's proposed.
It's proposed, but
and
it's, I sunk it's
in
got
my,
backing.
I was listening to this on the radio on the way over this morning, and I kind of just sunk in my seat, and I was like, it's the end of days.
It's got backing and the
of course it does, because the government gets money.
Yeah, and the ridiculous point about it is it's not going to help Australian business at all.
No.
It's not going to help business. To help business, you need to go and tax more of the people who are offshoring their investments. The people like Google, the people like Microsoft, the people like Apple. There are a few big ones. They're just a couple of examples, and they would make an impact.
That was a very depressing first quick head, just saying.
Can you redeem it?
We'll try and lighten it up a bit.
Yeah, let's redeem it.
NASA.
NASA.
NASA has been granted $200,000 a year for a project that recycles human poop into man-made food.
Foob.
Food. Food. Recycling human waste.
Food.
Into edible food.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I'm not eating that shit.
What? Ba-ding.
I don't know. It's happening. We'll find out.
Wow. Right. Okay.
Another NASA one. NASA designs 3D printed space drone to explore planets and asteroids.
Out of 3D printing?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Sony's having another crack at the smart bands.
Oh, no. Everyone is.
They're up to their smart band 2 in all sorts of colours, but they look a bit easier to use than what the Microsoft one was. Remember the Microsoft one was like square.
Big and bulky and no one... like. Oh,
and
God.
Reviewers were saying it was awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically like a square on your wrist. It's like a wheel. It's like a car with square wheels. Was wearing the Microsoft band.
If you want to use that example, that's my analogy of the Moto 360, the whole...
flat tire.
We've got a square screen, but we're just going to make it round and we're going to make everything work to fit round on this thing.
Hmm.
And it's like, well, that's not an operating system.
Yeah.
You've made it happen.
So Sony Band 2.
Sony Band 2. There's on the way there.
Soon. All right, I'll fire back with another smart band.
Oh, another smart band.
Misfit. Have you heard of these guys?
The Misfit. No, I've not heard of Misfit.
They make fitness trackers in the US and things like this. They've teamed up with Speedo. So ooh. Misfit and Speedo.
New togs?
And now working on a... no. A new fitness tracker for swimmers.
Oh,
we've seen fitness trackers that have been targeting, you know, runners, bicyclists, cyclists, people in the gym exercising.
Did you say bicycles?
Bicycles, bicyclists, cyclists. It's like a cyclist and a biker. You know, so they've been targeting that. You know, on land, they've been targeting the land roamers. Now they're going to target the swimmers in the water.
That's cool.
It's a bit of a niche market because not everyone's a swimmer, and I can't imagine everyone buying
it. But there are people who do want to do that, and they've
it's going to track, you know, your running and everything as well.
And they've been looking at all these things and going, well, this does not work for me because this thing only tracks steps. Why do I want to track steps when I do aqua? I get in the water and wobble about.
And they reckon the tech's going to be like really accurate at counting laps. So when you reach the end and you do the spin and the turn your head back, so they reckon their software is exceptional at tracking laps.
Your technique better be good too.
Yeah. So they'll be tracking like your swimming. Of course, they'll do your sleep as well. So you can wear it like sort of all day. Regardless of your stroke, they say it'll track your laps you do. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the distance as well that you swim, your calories burned. It's coming out next month in September for a reasonable $79.
Oh, there you go. Good price. That's one of the first decent.
The Speedo Shine.
Shine. Yeah. That's one of the first decent branded trackers that I've heard that have come out. Oh, it'll be US dollars, but I mean, in that price range, it's not bad. Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
You got another quick head?
No, I don't.
Okay, I got one more. Stephen Hawking's. Speech
what about
software,
this man?
His speech software is now available for free.
Freeware.
So apparently, I guess you couldn't get it.
Yeah.
But now you can just download it for free and we can all use we want to.
We can all use it like Stephen Hawking.
So the way,
except not like Stephen Hawking.
It captures his, like, I guess, like the mouth movement to, you know, choose words on screen and stuff, whatever. You can now get it for free. That's interesting, isn't it?
So we'll do the next episode of Tech Rap.
just purely from the speech recognition software. But we could just probably use the Dragon Diction and, you know, get like the Windows voice to read it out.
You sound like Billy Brownless. You're screwing up your words left, right, and center. Dragon Diction.
Had hardly any sleep. Shouldn't have done this. This podcast is a bad idea.
You've been watching more episodes of Orange is New Black or something like that.
Yeah, staying up too late. It's a great show. Binge watching on Netflix, not downloading illegally.
That was
Quick Headlines of the Week. That was the Quick Headlines. Geddes, give me some quick headlines.
Hey! That's us done and dusted, I think.
Another week.
What another week done. A lot of fun. Seven?
Seven, right?
Seven, I think.
Hmm.
Because we skipped a few weeks here, mainly because you had a week's break.
And doesn't mean we skip episodes.
And then I had a week's break as well, and I decided that, you know, I couldn't be stuffed working out how I would record the show. I thought about doing it on the phone, but we never got around to it, so. Oh, well.
We highly recommend everyone take a good break.
Yes.
If you're thinking about it, just do it.
2 weeks is good, but
2 weeks is ideal.
Unfortunately, we only get 4 weeks in a year, so it's very complex.
So if you've been thinking
that,
about taking a break,
take a break
just
now.
Just do it.
Just do it tomorrow.
Even if you're just staying at home watching Netflix all day, just do it.
Take a
You'll
sickie.
Thank us later.
Take a sickie on Monday.
Yeah, don't even call in sick. Just don't rock up to work. Just don't go.
I don't endorse.
Great advice.
I don't endorse this, by the way. So don't put your boss onto me if he goes
tell
off.
Tell him
about
to follow us on Twitter. And
yes.
He can tweet us directly all his concerns about missing employees.
And tell us you're on leave. Tech Rep Podcast, techrep.net. Thank you for wasting your time listening to us.
We'll see you next week.
Catch you then.